This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Well, we're back again, and yes, this is the Sue Free Show, and people say, what is the Sue Free Show? Well, it's different every week. You know, I have guests on, and just we kind of let the Lord lead where he's going to lead, and my heart and the passion I have is that those that are listening, if they're hurting, if they just don't have the answers, if they're just wondering what to do next, that somehow the guests that I have on, you know, I always say that, you know, I don't believe in coincidences, that God, it's when God decides to stay anonymous is a coincidence, because there's no such thing as coincidence. And so in that, I just kind of let the Lord lead. This isn't my show. It's the Lord's show. And so I know there's going to be listeners that are listening, and they're going to be touched by the story or by the topic in which we're going to talk about today, because in all areas of life, we've got different burdens and we have different battles that we're fighting. And so to be equipped to handle those battles is what the show is trying to do. So what is the show about? It's about the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connecting with people. People impact our lives both positively and negatively. We then have a choice whether to react or respond. Our life is guided by our choices, which are based on our beliefs. Wisdom comes when we learn from our mistakes and those who have gone before us. Leverage all of this to take a chance. Share your life experiences to create wisdom for another person's life, to plant a seed. Dare to make a difference, to live your life on purpose, for a purpose. And that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we're called to do, because God created us for a specific purpose. Sometimes we don't know what that purpose is, and things are revealed to us during our lives. We have life experiences, we have hassles, we have battles, and things become apparent to us as we go through this journey called life. Today, we have a special guest. His name is Randall Sonata, and he's senior, not junior, because he has his son that's also named Randall, and I met him last night. And just a little bit of background about Randall is, in 1972, Randall began his career as a wealth advisor. Soon thereafter, he wrote the software for the first known financial and estate planning computer program. The program was purchased by a company soon to be named American Express Financial Advisors, where Randall became their top advisor and media spokesman. When Randall retired in 1987, he opened a small family office in which to manage the family holdings. Soon, other families began to participate in the investments and resources utilized by the Sonata family. Over time, it became necessary to hire additional professionals to provide for these families and to establish a securities brokerage firm and a bank trust company, all as part of a new organization, the Alliance Financial Group. The firm now has a significant team of credentialed advisors providing expertise in each of the following areas: comprehensive financial planning, investment management, risk management, tax planning and preparation, retirement planning, legal services, and estate planning. Gee, I don't know anybody that doesn't need some of those services. So, Randall, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I was kind of long-winded, and I apologize.
That's okay.
Well, you've got a lot that you've handled and that you're doing, and you've got a lot of other people that are helping you with this journey.
Yes. Very blessed with the people and the professionals that work with us at our firm here at Alliance. We have a team of certified financial planners, attorneys, CPAs, financial analysts, etc., that serve our client database.
You've accomplished a lot in what you've been doing so far, and you've got these people in place. So being free from the obligation of the full-time work, what are the ministry passions that occupy your time now?
Well, there's a number of ministries. The first one is the Christian Foundation of the West, where I serve as a board member. This organization assists donors in their giving with donor-advised accounts, and we also are involved in helping startup churches as they need to raise finances. our family also has had a wonderful privilege of building and providing support for orphan homes. And my wife and I also serve on the board of the Kingdom Center in Ventura, California, where housing is provided for the homeless.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, what a blessing to be involved in something like that.
You know, I'm a working woman. I own a business, and it's one thing to be successful. You know, when I was growing up and I was learning how to be a better person and a better leader and whatnot, I felt that, you know, success was where it was at. And now I'm finding as, you know, we get older and we realize there's more of a significance than just success. That,
yes.
You know, what are you going to do with this success? What are you going to do with what you've done? And God calls us to do something much grander and bigger than what we could ever imagine.
Absolutely. When I started out as a financial advisor, for the longest time, my belief was my purpose was to build net worth, to build greater and greater portfolios of investments for my clients and for my own family. And while there's nothing necessarily wrong with building, it really comes down to what are you going to do with these resources that God has blessed you with. And if it's all about building bigger warehouses, you've got it all wrong. We really do need to, as you said, have a purpose in utilizing what God has blessed us with, and blessing others is how we ultimately find joy.
That is so true. They say that, you know, the joy is in the giver.
Yes.
It's in the giving. And it's true. I know that when I receive gifts, I really love those gifts, and it's wonderful and everything, but I, you know what? My heart just jumps up and down when I give something. And when that's received, when somebody goes, wow, I just really like that. I mean, it's so wonderful. And when there's a need and you can feel that need, it's such a wonderful feeling inside to be able to accomplish that.
Absolutely. And this time of year, Christmas, when giving is so much on everyone's mind, you know, we remember as children how we were so excited about the toys that we were going to receive, and it was all about receiving. But as adults, as you said, it's the joy is when we give to someone else and seeing their joy as they receive. And for me, as a financial advisor, to be able to share this with my clients and help them transition from accumulating for themselves to blessing others and focusing on kingdom purposes, that's really been a joy in my life and also with my sons.
So I'm gonna go off our normal trail here, and I'm just gonna ask you this. You know, just being sensitive to the listener, I'm sure we have listeners from all walks and all journeys, and not everybody is in a position at this moment to be able to give. They might be without a job. They might be struggling with an alcoholic family member, or, you know, just whatever, you know. And the holiday seasons, too, are always so sensitive to the dreams that get shattered, because we all want it to be just so warm and fuzzy, and sometimes it's not. And there's a lot of people that are sad during the holidays. So, yes, if we are blessed and we've worked hard and we do have those gifts that we can give, that's wonderful. But what could you say to the people that aren't on that side of the fence right now? You know, for instance, what I'm thinking is that just because somebody's down doesn't mean they have to stay down. And if we have dreams and we work towards God's purpose in our lives, there will come a time when we can be on the other side of that fence, and we can be the giver instead of the receiver. And they're both important. You know, there's a time and a season for all things. So what would you say to those people?
Well, first of all, you're absolutely right that there are a lot of people hurting in this economy today, and not everyone is in a position to be generously giving. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we can't find something where we can still bless someone else. If you were to make something, make some preserves, if you have nothing with which to even make anything from, just blessing others by being kind to them, by complimenting them, by trying to help them any way that you can. There is always a way that you can figure out to bless others, even if you don't have the finances to buy gifts and those kinds of things.
Amen to that. That is so true, because our time is precious, isn't it? We were all given the same amount of time.
There you go.
Yeah, so and giving of your time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And one can take hope in times like this. You know, even though there are many who are going to have a tough Christmas this year, there are basic principles that can be learned where next year and the year after and 5 and 10 years from now, they can make that turnaround and can be in a position where they can bless others and enjoy God's abundance. You know, we should remind ourselves that we're children of the King. He owns everything in this world, and we can benefit from being beneficiaries of Him. And we should be looking for ways to do that and recognize that if we apply ourselves and discipline ourselves and seek His wisdom. And by the way, there are thousands of verses in the Bible that provide timeless, godly wisdom about the management of our finances and our possessions. And if we learn those and apply them, we can make that turnaround and get to that point where we can see financial security.
This is the Sue Free Show, 99.5 KKLA. And since you mentioned there are principles, would you like to share those with the listeners today?
Sure.
Okay.
There are, first of all, a number of principles that we have trained our kingdom advisors. And by the way, I didn't have a chance to mention another passion, and that is a ministry known as Kingdom Advisors, which was formed by Larry Burkett in the late 90s, where he organized a small group of wealth advisors and began training us in biblical principles to apply to our own lives and our practices and our counsel. And the five basic principles that every kingdom advisor will share with you when you approach them for counsel. Number one, spend less than you earn. Number two, build and maintain reserves. Three, avoid the use of debt. Four, set long-term goals. And finally, number five, remember your stewardship role as a manager of wealth, not as an owner.
Those are good.
And
boy,
you know,
I wrote those down, and it was hard for me to write that fast. But, I mean, I really did. I wrote them down because, you know, I have some special people that I love and adore so much that struggle with debt, and they can't seem to get out of it. You know, it's
yes.
like, it, I don't know. I don't have this problem because I was raised with very little. And I know that for me, no offense to Starbucks, but I don't buy Starbucks coffee. I don't like it, but I also don't like paying that kind of price. I'd rather make it at home. You know, there's just certain things that I do, and I make a conscious choice every day to decide whether it's really worth, like, for instance, eating, you know, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. That's one that I say all the time to myself. It sounds funny, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, is this instant gratification worth the pain later? And 9 times out of 10, it's not. But a lot of the times we don't think about that.
Well, you have to remember that any spending decision is really a spiritual decision. You are making a choice of buying this particular good or service or self-gratifying item today in exchange for something in the future or something else that could be more important. And if you remember that you're making choices every time you spend money, you know, you can at least stop and think. And if you keep track of how you're spending your money and pay attention, and hopefully have a spouse and you're accountable to one another and share with one another how you're trying to be more disciplined in your spending, you can eventually set priorities and learn to, first of all, tithe. That should be the first priority in our spending. Secondly, save, and then spend. You know, you asked about principles a little bit ago. I should share with you Formula 15.
Okay, would you share Formula 15 with me, please?
It is the formula for achieving financial independence.
Ooh, I like that.
And it has three components. One is the amount of your savings and investment. Two is the rate of return on your savings. And three is the amount of time that you have. And the formula goes like this. If you save 15% of your earnings and you earn a rate of return of 15% per year, you will be financially independent in, guess how many years, Sue?
I don't know.
15 years.
15, 15, 15. Wow.
That's right. Formula 15. In other words, if you're making $100,000 a year and you follow this principle, saving 15%, earning 15% rate of return, in 15 years, your investments will be generating $100,000 a year, from which you can now live on and no longer need to work. You are financially independent. And this formula works at $50,000 a year and $20,000 a year and $250,000 a year. It's all a matter of percentages.
I had a friend say, well, I'm making this much money. And I said, well, how many hours are you working? You know, because usually when you're figuring out a rate of pay, you're thinking that person's using, you know, working 8, maybe 9 hours a day. But this person happens to be working, you know, 12 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and then going in on Saturday, and then going in on Sunday. And I said, have you ever really taken the time to just plot down how many hours you're actually working for the dollar amount you think you're getting? And figure out, you know, divide that into the dollars that you're making and figure out exactly how much you're making per hour. And this person's never done that. And I just thought, wow, you know, because truly our time, it's an exchange. Our time is an exchange. And like I said, we only get so much of it. So it's very valuable to us.
Well, that's right. And that's part of our priorities, too. You know, we have to recognize that it's not just about working and building wealth and saving and investing. It's also family time. It's time with the Lord, you know, in devotions, reading the Word. It's taking care of your health. I know that you are a person that's big on taking care of your health. So am I. It needs to be one of the first things we do every morning.
Right. It's balance. It's a balancing act, isn't it, every day?
Precisely. Precisely.
Right. And things can get out of kilter and out of balance with all of the things that are calling our name right now. I mean, you know, like, for instance, our cell phones. It's supposed to be something that's supposed to make our lives simpler, right? But it doesn't seem to be that way for me. I don't know about you.
No, but my
cell phone seems to be calling my name every single minute of every single day. I'm deleting emails all day long. I didn't turn my cell phone off right now, too, and I'm hoping it won't go off. But so those things are a distraction from even just taking time to really be at one with the Lord and yourself and family and memories and all that.
Well, you know, it's hectic times. You know, I remember as a child how slow time seemed to move.
I know.
I still have my grandfather's clock that he used to wind every Sunday morning, and I remember when I'd visit him sitting in his kitchen watching that pendulum swing back and forth and how slow it moved. And today, that's in our dining room, and it goes very fast. And I truly believe time is moving faster today than ever before. And to make matters more difficult are all these emails and all this technology where we're constantly being called upon, as you mentioned earlier.
I know. It's hard to balance everything.
Yes.
This is the Sue Free Show, 99.5 KKLA, and we're talking to Randall Sonata. And he helps people with their money and to be good stewards of their money. Would you say that's correct?
That is correct.
Yes. So tell us a little more about this Kingdom Advisor program.
Kingdom Advisors is a group of financial professionals that are being trained in timeless biblical wisdom to apply to their own lives, to their practices, and to their counsel. And whereas we started with a small group of only 16 advisors when Larry Burkett started the organization back in the 90s, today we have over 1,350 members. And we're nationwide. And so anyone who is seeking the counsel of a financial professional who applies biblical wisdom to his counsel, they can find Kingdom Advisors on the web. It's www.kingdomadvisors.org. And you can get on the website and just go to the place where it says find an advisor, put in your zip code, and it'll give you a list of qualified advisors who have gone through our training and are equipped to provide you with godly counsel in addition to the technical counsel of being credentialed advisors, having a CFP or a CPA or being an attorney. So you have both technical knowledge as well as biblical wisdom available through these professionals.
That's wonderful. Have you always worked with wealthy people?
No. When I started in practice in 1972, most of my clients were struggling. So was I. Didn't have a whole lot of money in those days. And we needed to learn to apply these five principles that I talked about earlier, spending less than you earn, building and maintaining reserves, etc. And basically applying these principles to our lives and accumulating wealth over time and using time to our advantage. It's really helpful when you're young. And that 10, 15, 20 years goes by pretty quickly, and before you know it, you have established a portfolio of wealth.
So even I tell my employees to, even if they can put $5, just $5 away every 2 weeks, that there's a little nest egg at the end of that term.
That is exactly right. And you know, there are so many people today who are struggling with debt, and they say, I can't afford to save. You know, how can I even think about saving when I can't even seem to manage all my bills? And that's a real challenge in today's world. Debt has been something that we've almost been trained to utilize in the way we spend money. Spend everything you have and then more by using debt. And that's a definitely a wrong path to be on. And one of the things we help people do through another ministry called Crown Ministries, which helps people get out of debt. They have counselors available. They're called Money Map Counselors, and they lay out a map for you to help you figure out where you're at today and where you want to go financially, and take you one step at a time through the journey of, number one, building reserves and getting out of debt, and then saving up enough to buy a home, and then building for the future and a retirement plan that achieves your financial independence, and then finally to a state of generosity where you're building on your eternal portfolio, investing ahead into the kingdom for eternal purposes.
So who can get involved? I know many people that are in debt, and what is the criteria as far as being able to get involved with the Crown Ministries?
Go to crown.org, and you can find aid through a Money Map Counselor, and you can also get involved in a 10-week Bible study. Most churches have the Crown 10-week Bible study. By any chance, have you been through that, Sue?
I have not. I've never heard of it before.
Oh, my lands. talk to the stewardship pastor at your church about Crown Ministries. There's a 10-week course of study. It's a small group study. And in this study, you learn about, first of all, God's part versus our part in achieving financial disciplines, recognizing God's ownership versus our stewardship. Very strong on getting out of debt, using wise counsel, biblical counsel, being honest, being generous, working hard, investing, and thinking about eternal purposes. And you learn a memory verse every week, and you share with one another, not the details of your finances, but what you're learning. And I'll tell you, when I first heard about the Crown Bible study, I was already a financial advisor, and I didn't see any need for me to go through it, because after all, I knew about tithing. But because Crown and Kingdom Advisors began working together, I went ahead and signed up for the course. And by the way, I figured my wife could probably use this, because in my opinion, she was a little bit too generous.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? As we went through that course, it was me that needed this information. It was my heart that needed to change. And I consider Crown to be stewardship 101. And even as a Kingdom Advisor, just beginning, this was early in my days as a Kingdom Advisor, I hadn't been through the prerequisite of Stewardship 101 and getting that heart change of recognizing that God is the owner of all wealth. He owns my time. He owns everything that he has entrusted to me, and that I need to be focused on serving his will and managing whatever resources he's giving me for his purposes. And that change in my heart started developing generosity with me and helped me understand where my wife was coming from. She was way ahead of me, as it turned out to be.
That's so wonderful to hear. How refreshing. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show and Randall Sonata with Alliance Advisory on 99.5 KKLA.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies like yours choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. To schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Well, we're back with Randall Sonata with Alliance Advisory and me, Sue Freeze. And if you want to go on our blog, we have a blog. It's SueFreeze.com, and Freeze is spelt like fries and there is no space. So if you go on there, you can listen to the show again in case there was something you missed. If we talk too fast, I know I was writing things down because this is really good material. So you can go there. So don't think that, you know, you can't get this information later, because you can. And Randall, you are being so wonderful in it, and we're going through so many different things here that I know are going to be so helpful for people listening. And I circled the word tithe because tithing for some people is just so difficult, number one, especially when people are really just trying to get the bills paid. You know, are we still called to tithe? And how much do we really tithe? And what's the difference between a tithe and a gift? So could you kind of clarify that a little bit?
Yes, and if I could, I'd love to share my testimony regarding tithing.
Okay.
I learned to tithe from my grandmother when I was a boy, just getting my first job as a paper boy. And I remember she called me up and said they were coming to visit, and she had this wonderful principle for me from God's Word now that I had an income. And I couldn't wait to hear what she had to say, because I figured she had some hot investment tip. Mm-hmm. And when she explained to me about tithing, in other words, putting 10% of what you earn into the offering plate on Sunday mornings, I have to tell you, I wasn't real pleased to hear that. I was actually disappointed. I thought, wait a minute, you know, I'm working for me. I'm working to spend on bicycles and fun things and maybe save a little bit for the future, maybe to buy a car someday. But, you know, I could see the sincerity in what she was sharing with me. And I began to practice that principle of tithing. It was a small amount, and God blessed me, and my paper outgrew, and it got to the point where I was putting so much in the plate that I felt it was really more than a boy my age should be responsible for. So I cut it in half,
mm-hmm.
and my paper out got cut in half immediately thereafter. And it was a great lesson for me as a boy to recognize that God is paying attention to this, and that we really should honor what he tells us to do, and that is to put, you know, to pay our first fruits. The first 10% of our income belongs to him, and that's not an offering, that's not a gift. That is, in my opinion, something that we're each responsible to do as Christians. Beyond the tithe, beyond 10%, is when you're giving, in my opinion. Now, I realize that a lot of people listening to this show today are going to say, "Wow, there's no way I could tithe 10%. I can hardly get by with what little I have."
Randall, that's so funny, because I was just thinking that. I'm pretending I'm the person that's in debt, you know, that can't pay the credit card bills, that's
right,
behind in their taxes, and I'm thinking, wow, okay, so now we're going to tell them to spend money on tithing when they are not out of debt. So what are you going to say to them?
Well, I say step out on faith. It is something that we've been taught to do. It is, and God makes it real clear. In fact, in the Bible, he says, "Test me on this." There's only one place in the Bible where you're asked to test God, and it's in the area of tithing. And so I would encourage your listeners to do just that, to try putting a percentage of their income in the tithe envelope every week, and see if God doesn't bless them. And if it doesn't, then stop. Because I can tell you, it they will be blessed. They will find a way to live on the remainder and even begin saving. I should share another principle with you, and then we'll get back to tithing. It's called Parkinson's Law. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not. I've heard of Parkinson's, but not law.
Okay, there's Parkinson's disease, and you get shaky just thinking about what I'm about to share with you.
Right.
Parkinson's Law states that your needs will rise to your income.
Yes. Okay, yes.
Think about it. You know, we all started out years ago earning much less than we earn today, and somehow, no matter how much we earn, our needs, the things that we really have to have, in our opinion, just keep becoming more and more. I know people of wealth who need a bigger, faster private jet, and they really see this as a need in their lives. And then there are many people in this world who are living on a tiny, tiny fraction of what you and I or the average American lives on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an American living on, say, $50,000 a year, you're in the top percentage, top 3 or 4% of all the people in this world in terms of the resources that you have to live on every month. And so think about a time when your income may be declined for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Parkinson's Law applies in reverse. Your needs will actually drop to your level of income as well.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow you get by. You don't starve. You don't find yourself out in the streets. You make adjustments, and you live on what it is you have to work with. Well, I would propose that if a person was to set priorities in their cash flow, number one, paying their tithes, number two, investing for the future, saving 5, 10, 15% of their income, and then earmark the rest to spend, to pay bills, to pay the rent, start paying down credit cards, whatever. But first things first, tithes, savings, and then spending. That should be the priority in that order.
That's contrary to what I've heard numerous times as far as when you're figuring out your weekly, daily, monthly bills, is you figure out the ones that are constant, like your rent or, if you're renting or your mortgage, your whatever the payments are that you have that are consistent and all the time. I know when I was in college, I put myself through college, and when I did that, I know that I was trying to figure out how much food, how little could I live on in the food department. And I always walked around the outside of the grocery store. I didn't go down the middle aisles, and it's a known fact that the middle aisles hold all of the junk food like potato chips and all those things that we don't need to eat. And if we keep and we circle around the outside of the grocery store, we're going to get the staples that we need, like protein, meat, vegetables, and you know what? They're the least expensive of all of the things that we buy.
There you go.
So, and I also had another visual of a suitcase. It sounds so funny, or a plate. And I know that when I had a little suitcase, I would fill it to the brim, and then I got a bigger suitcase, and it was amazing. I could always find more to put in that suitcase, and that's what you were talking about, is living not within your means, but living up to your means.
Absolutely, and you know, most people do it the way that you were saying a little bit ago. Start with your fixed expenses, and then pay those first, and then pay the variable expenses, and then buy the other things that you feel you need. And then whatever's left over, you save a little bit and maybe give a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you there is never going to be anything left over.
Right.
That's how you set your priorities. So that's why it's so important that we learn to first give, then save, and then live on the rest. And even if it's very small percentages, I realize, again, people who are struggling are saying, who is this guy think we are, But you can start somewhere. Even if it's just 1% in your giving, another only 1% in your savings, if you can begin to develop those disciplines, you can build from there until you're finally giving and saving appropriate amounts.
It's a big thing, the tithe. I mean, that was a big lesson for me, and a lot of the times it's a spiritual maturity thing, or just an understanding, gaining an understanding of the promises that God has for us.
Yes.
In that department. And,
yes.
It causes a paradigm shift, I think, a lot of the times. I have an issue. We did have an issue, my husband and I, is because he would write the check and he would stick it in the mail. And I was upset with that because I didn't get the joy of praying over that check or the money that was going to go to God's kingdom. I wanted to pray over it. I just wanted to pray and have a feel. It's like the other day, he goes, well, I wrote a check to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, how much was it? And he goes, well, what difference does it make? And I said, well, it's our money. So I just want to know how much, because there's joy in giving. And I want to know how much we gave. And I think that it's a partnership when you have, money that's combined, that you both have a part, not only in spending, but also giving.
Well, and because it really is a joy. It's so interesting that you mention this because I just went through a similar situation here at the firm. Some years ago, my sons, who actually run our investment firm today, sat down with me and said, "Dad, we'd like to begin tithing on the gross revenues of our firm," which was music to my ears. I couldn't believe that my sons, who I had already accepted tithing long, long ago, were now taking such a huge step of faith, because, by the way, our firm doesn't have a 10% margin of profitability. How are we going to actually tithe on the gross?
Mm-hmm.
But we did, and we've been blessed. And what happens every 15 days is Jerry, who is our CFO, he's my second son, he issues the check to our churches. And he, in the past, would just mail them. And just like yourself, I was missing out on the joy of seeing those checks and actually putting them in the offering plate. And so mm-hmm. just recently, Jerry's been handing me those checks mm-hmm. for my church so that I can put them in the offering plate and not just let them get mailed out. So you're absolutely right. There is joy in giving, and it's something that is learned. I, as a paper boy, I didn't get it. And I honored what my grandmother taught me as a discipline. And it wasn't, quite frankly, until I went through the Crown Bible study and God changed my heart that I learned the true joy of giving.
And it is a joy. It is a joy. Yeah. This is the Sue Free Show, 99.5 KKLA, and we're talking to Randall Sonata. I am saying that correct, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
And he's with Alliance Advisory. And how many family members do you have in your firm?
We have three. We have four sons, three of which work at the firm. Randy Jr. Is a CFP. He's our oldest son. And he manages the client relationships at our firm. And then Jerry is our second son, and he is both a CFP and a CFA, and he oversees our various investment companies, making sure that the different investment managers are doing their jobs. And he himself does a lot of stock picking and investment due diligence. And then finally, our fourth son, Joe, is an attorney, and he provides counsel to our clients in the areas of any types of legal issues that they have, as well as estate planning.
So all of your children pretty much are working alongside you. So you've built this legacy and passing it on to your kids, it looks like.
Yes, and what a blessing it is. It's not something I expected would ever happen. I worked with my dad for a short time and you know, found that I wanted to be more independent. So I really never expected my sons would want to work with me.
Mm-hmm.
But all three of the sons that are here started out working elsewhere, but eventually came back to the place where they used to work their summers and just kind of helped out around here, seeing the culture where we have a stewardship culture here of serving the best interests of our clients. And they really liked that, and they wanted to be part of that.
So we touched a little bit about your sons being involved in your family. So there's got to be another half of you that's pretty amazing, I would think. So you've been married how long?
38 years.
Wow, that deserves an award.
I met Kay at church when we weren't even 16. We weren't allowed to date when we first met.
Aww.
And then we went steady for 5 years and finally got married just before we turned 21.
So you were high school sweethearts?
Yes, we were.
Did you ever have any other, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, anything?
Yes, we both did. She moved away mm-hmm. With her family, and we split up for a short time. But then she came back and went to college here, and we got back together and been together ever since.
So what was it like in your family? You know, did you eat dinner together?
Yes, as much as we could. Now, you know, I was a workaholic, and a lot of times I wouldn't be home for dinner, but Kay always made sure that there was dinner served and that there was family time available for me to be there whenever I could, and if not, at least the four boys were there with her.
So can I put you on the spot for a second?
Sure.
What was the most difficult decision you've ever had to make? That's really on the spot, isn't it?
Boy, it is, and I'm I can't think of what it is.
Okay, so let's go to the next question. What is your favorite quote or saying or biblical verse? Do you have one that you kind of lean on or that's...
First Chronicles 29:11-12. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of everything. Riches and honor come from you alone, and you are the ruler of all mankind. Your hand controls power and might, and it is at your discretion that men are made great and given strength. First Chronicles 29:11-12.
And you've memorized that.
Yes, that's one of the verses that you memorize when you take the Crown study.
That is, you know what? I'm going to have to look that one up because I don't remember ever reading that.
Oh, it's a wonderful verse. It's the verse that changed my heart.
Well, you know what? You saying that, the way you said it was such passion.
Yes.
It just came alive for me. Because I know I've read the verse because I've read the Bible. So I'm like, wow, I don't remember that. It just didn't pop out like that just did for me.
Well, and it took crown for it to pop out for me. I didn't really get that until we studied it and really understood God's role versus our role in the resources that he's entrusted to us.
So go over those five principles again.
Spend less than you earn.
Uh-huh.
Build and maintain reserves. Avoid the use of debt. Set long-term goals. And finally, remember your stewardship role as a manager rather than just being an owner.
That's all really great stuff. It's really good. I just
I'm sorry. I just have to interrupt. These principles were recited by Ron Blue, our current leader at Kingdom Advisors, in a situation where he was asked to testify to Congress years ago about the issues of our economy. And he shared these principles of what, you know, he's taught Kingdom Advisors. And they said, wow, that would apply in any situation. And his response was, yes, even to Congress and their use of funds.
Hmm.
And he got a number of sheepish smiles and laughs from that.
So we don't have much time left. So what would you want to say to the listeners that are listening that could help them change the direction in which their finances or their life is going?
Well, it's about setting priorities. And we talked a little bit ago about balance in our lives, our faith, our health, our family, and our wealth. Those are the four areas of balance in my life, and that's the sequence, that's the priority. So I start every morning in the Word, and then I exercise, and then I make sure I have some time with Kay and have that family time, and then everything else falls in after that, all the wealth stuff. And I would encourage others to do the same thing, to have priorities in the way they live their lives, living in balance, and also in the way they apply their funds, their tithing, saving, and then spending. It's all about setting priorities. And establishing these disciplines, even if it's just a little at a time, is what will make a difference in the long run.
So when you, the tithing thing one more time, I have people that they'll get mail asking for a library, you know, funds to be given to a library.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your church and you've got ministries that there's so many people and ministries in need of money and help and time and, you know, just servants of all kinds. So would you consider tithing to a library?
No.
Okay.
In fact, most ministries will tell you that unless you're paying your tithe to your church, you should not be contributing to their ministry. I'm talking about Christian ministries, obviously,
right.
a library or Save the Wells, you know, whatever it is that people will come after you for money. Those are all good causes, and there's nothing wrong with contributing to them. Kay and I have chosen to do most of our giving beyond our tithes to Christian ministries where there's a much more limited group of people available to contribute. And so given the smaller universe, we like to concentrate on things that have long-term kingdom benefits. But there's nothing wrong with contributing to any organization that tugs on your heart beyond the 10% that you give to your church.
So if somebody doesn't go to church and they're in debt, should they be given to a library? Should they be giving to these ministries? Or would that money be, I know we're supposed to be givers.
Yes.
But should that be money that we pay that credit card bill down, or should we?
Yeah, very good question. And obviously paying down credit cards and getting rid of that outrageous interest is a very high priority that one must concentrate on. But you know how long until you're going to find that you can squeak out a few dollars to give, to bless others, even if you're not a Christian. If you can find a way to bless somebody else, to do something even a small way with your time, with maybe just a wee little bit of money, you're going to find the beginning of joy in your life, regardless of what situation you're dealing with. And so I would encourage everyone to find some way to give. This is a wonderful season to be having this conversation. I would encourage everyone listening to find some way to bless somebody else and give something of value to somebody else.
my email, on the bottom of my email, it says, make yourself a blessing to someone today.
There
you
are.
That's not just for the holidays. That's just every day. And, you know, if our prayer is to be the light in the darkness, then that's one way of being the light, is by smiling or having a kind word, giving someone a hug, if it's okay.
Amen to that.
You know,
yes.
All of those things are just so necessary and encouraging because, you know, times are tough and it's just, we never know what somebody else is walking through. And sometimes, you know, I see somebody and I'll think, wow, they're having a really bad day. What can I do to make their day just a little lighter? You know, is there something I can do to just make them just have a little bit of peace or light when they're not feeling it?
And as you do that, you are blessing them. But what you don't realize is that you are being blessed even more. Acts 20:35, where the Lord Jesus tells us that it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely true. And every single time you give to somebody else, you find that you are the primary beneficiary.
That's so true. There's so many stories that I could go into, and I'm sure you have them too.
Yes.
You know, do you have grandkids?
Yes, I have 4 grandchildren.
Isn't that the most amazing thing, to see life through their eyes? Isn't
yes,
that just
it is. Especially right now at Christmas time, just seeing their excitement and watching them grow, watching them learn about the Lord. And this is really the most precious time in our lives, Kay and I, is enjoying our grandkids.
And do you like all of the people that your children had married? Do you get along with everybody and everything?
Yeah, we are very blessed
amazing?
In that regard.
Yes.
To have 3 daughters in love. I don't call them daughters in law. I call them daughters in love.
That's so great.
And they have really blessed our lives, especially the 2 that have given us grandkids.
Yes. Well, it's probably just a matter of time.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we'll have eventually grandkids from all 4 sons. Looking forward to that.
Randall, you've been so helpful, and I know that there's been people that have listened, and they've written down what you've said, and I know I have. I've learned. And, you know, people perish for lack of knowledge, and you've given us some knowledge and maybe even some steps on how we can go from where we are to where we need to be, and that's always helpful to learn that. And so I loved the Crown Ministries for those that listened and think that they could use some help. Crown Ministries is a good place to go. So shameless commercial one more time for people to get involved with you because we're out of time.
It's crown.org to seek help from Crown Ministries, kingdomadvisors.org to find a Christian financial advisor, and to look for our firm here in Westlake Village, California, it's allianceadvisory.com.
Well, it's been great, Randall, having you with us, and we appreciate your insight and input. I thank all of you for listening, and I look forward to next Saturday. So until then, God bless.
Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services, the benefits specialist. Denon Simpson saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Wish, A American Self-Storage, the Foursquare Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefit specialist.
It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.